last week, the whole purpose of chapter 3 of 1 Timothy is to point out that there is no one qualified. Those who think they're qualified or meet all the qualifications, I'm sure that Saul and his army had SEAL Team 6, so to speak, people that had been through the training. But when Goliath needed to be slain, he didn't call on one of them. Yeah, he didn't call the qualified. He calls somebody who just trusts him. And David admits he wasn't qualified. He says, you come to me with sword and shield, but I come to you unqualified. Yeah. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And when you think about that and you go to 1 Timothy and he goes through this whole litany of things, because there isn't anyone since the garden who's met all those qualifications. And when you think about it, even the one they crucified, one of his children, so to speak, was the one that was tempting him in the garden or in the wilderness. Yeah. So even Jesus, yeah, one of his turns him in. And it says, if you can't control your own house, how are you qualified? I mean, he only had 12 people to keep control over. How hard can that be? You know, one of my, the people that I visit every other Wednesday in Lynchburg, she was telling me this week how her mother had this big pan for biscuits. And she said she used to make up a big pan of biscuits for the family. And I said, well, how many of there were you? She said, well, there were 8 boys and 8 girls. Well, no wonder you had a big pan. I mean, you know, you have to have a big pan of everything. You know, and so she said, but mom and daddy controlled that house. Yeah, and I doubt it. Yeah. You have 16. I mean, it's hard to, they used to tell us, if you have, if you're taking prisoners and it's just you and you have more than 2, kill the third one because you can't control more than 2. I mean, when you have 2 children, you walk into a room and what do you say? What happened? And the answer is always the same. I don't know. And you don't know which one did it. Yeah. So the whole thing was, to get us into the next chapter, he wants us to realize, Aaron, that those people with degrees, a degree doesn't make you qualified. A degree means 2 things. You finish what you start, and for enough money, you can buy anything. Yeah, those 2 things. The whole idea God wants to get across to us is, I want to do extraordinary things through ordinary people. I want to take the natural to do the supernatural. And that's what Paul's trying to get across in 1 Timothy. Because Timothy is a young man. And if there is anyone who questions themselves, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not, both extremes can be bad. Older people think they know it all because they've lived it. You know, we tell our children things because we've experienced it all. There's hardly nothing that you haven't heard or seen. And young people think they know it all because they haven't seen anything. So therefore, if you haven't, you know how to. And so Paul gets that across in chapter 3, and then he goes, now the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. So he begins by saying, understand this. People will say, why is this happening? Why is this going on in the church? He says, the Spirit clearly says, you know, I believe another place in Scripture it says, know this, in the last days perilous times will come. Also penned by the Apostle Paul. And so you have this, he said, he explicitly says that some are going to depart from the faith. If we don't know what that means, it's what Aaron was talking about in the testimony. We begin to question, is this of God? Where was God when? If God exists, then why? And you can fill in the blank. Yeah. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do evil people appear as if they're blessed? And so he says, there are going to be people that when they can't see it, they don't believe it. We were at a meeting somewhere. I don't remember exactly where it was. It was in Virginia here, and somebody was up on stage, and they were speaking, and then all of a sudden, a puff of smoke came up, and we were sitting near the back of the auditorium, and they were standing behind us. I saw it. I saw them on stage, and I saw them behind us. Now, you can have all kinds of explanations, but seeing is not believing. Yeah. All you have to do, this couple weeks ago, we were down in Florida, and as we were going on the safari, we saw the kindest look on that lion's face as they were just sitting on top of the hill, you know, laying there. I mean, you know, a Jay loves cats. Yeah, that's, it just looks so kind and so peaceful. Seeing is not believing. But somehow we've got this mentality, or it's come into God's church, that if we can just see it, see, faith is the essence of things unseen. It's knowing what you know even when you can't see it happening. It's knowing that the bills are going to be getting paid even when you can't balance the checkbook. It's knowing that God is going to work things out. You know, I was talking with a person the other day, and their child's going through a traumatic experience, and they said, I know what the other person is going to do. And I said, you have to get your mind off, you know, being able to read that and just trust God. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you know about the other person. What matters is what you know about God. Do you really believe when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? I mean, that's easy to say. It's a little more difficult looking out of a fiery furnace to believe it. Or up from a lion's den. Or sitting in a bankruptcy court. See, it's different. And so all Paul is saying here, the Spirit has explicitly said that that is going to be tried. When it looks like there's no way out, do you forget the words, I am the way? You can't forget those words. You have to take them. And so he says, they'll depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. And he separates the two of them. He separates both of them because there are spirits that aren't demonic, just deceitful. See, the devil doesn't care if he gets you all at once. Someone once said, told me they don't try crack because once you try it, you're hooked. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm going to take their word for it. The devil doesn't care if he gets you all at once, where you try it once and you're hooked, or a little at a time, as long as he gets you. It's just like people say, I came to Jesus, but it wasn't a Damascus Road experience. See, God isn't concerned about the process. He's concerned about the result. Yeah. Did you get to where you need to be? And he says, there are deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. That's how they're going to do it. It will sound good. Look, we have to love everybody, don't we? Yes. Yes. Jesus loves everybody. Is he taking everybody into the kingdom? You answer that question for yourself. I won't answer that question because I think it's pretty plain when he turned and said, when he speaks a lie, he's the father of it. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. He's pretty plain on, do I love them? Yes. I remember telling an official one time when they said, the ship is going to make it through. I said, so did our aircraft carrier. But a lot of the crew didn't. Just because you're on a ship that makes it through. I believe God is going to get through. The team, the crew is a little shaky at times. That's all Paul is saying. So understand something. As Eddie was saying in class this morning, you better know what God teaches. See, the problem is we know what the church teaches. We know what people teach. But do we know what God teaches? And so Paul wants to get it across. And he says, through hypocrisy of liars whose conscience is seared. I don't know if you know what it means to have something seared. But the feeling is gone. Yeah. You say, how can they stand up there and lie like that? How can they do it? Doesn't bother them. Their conscience is seared. How can somebody take the EBT cards at Walmart? Yeah, I didn't realize, but Bobby was telling someone, I don't even remember who she told now, that our Walmart did accept them, but only $50. Made sense. Because the people with the card, not all of them, may have a seared conscience. Yeah, I often wonder, Kay, if before we open up the storehouse, we always say, well, how much am I given? Have you ever wondered if you just put the box of meat up there how long it would last? You have more faith than me. I believe the first person would pick up the box. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. You know, when I'm unloading the truck out front sometimes, do a pickup on the way in at 6, so I can get there at 6:30 or 6:45. Sometimes there are people that are coming to set up their chairs at 6. So if they're going to be there at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, yeah. And like Kay says, sometimes the people at the end get more than the people at the beginning, because if we find out then we have extra, we'll give it. The last sometimes is first. But Paul is saying, understand, conscience is seared, nothing affects it anymore. It says they forbid marriage and demand abstinence from food. I'm glad we don't know of any people, Christians, who demand abstinence from certain foods. Yeah. That God created to be received. See, there's a qualifier. Is he doing away with the health laws? No. He says that God created to be received with gratitude. See, if that is literal, then arsenic would be okay, because it's all natural. Hemlock? I mean, I've heard, now maybe I'm wrong, but I heard tea was good for you. So hemlock, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying you can do whatever you want. He said God created some things for you to take in and other things to take care of. That's all he's saying. But some people put qualifications on, if you do this. Have you ever heard there are certain things that will limit whether you can be translated or not translated? Find that in Scripture. I'm not limiting God on who. Look, I don't care how he takes me. I don't care if he translates me, if he lets me sleep and then takes me. I don't want to sleep. You know, I want to be there when you can look to the east and see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. I want to be there. But he says, that's some of the deceptions. It says, to be received with gratitude by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, not good for food. I remember survival. They told us, if you're ever out in the woods, you have to eat berries. Black and blue, you can always eat. Red sometimes and white never. All white berries, they said, are poison. God created them. If I receive it with good intentions, should it not hurt me? Black and blue always. Red sometimes and white never. Yeah. Simple. Simple. Yeah, that was over 40 years ago. I still remember that, just in case. Yeah. Just in case. Because if you ever see me out in the wilderness, I'm lost. Yeah. Camping to me is Motel 6. Yeah. But he says, created by God is good, and nothing should be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, since it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. See, I also believe that sometimes God will put you in positions where you have to make those decisions. Then he gets on, he says, If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, nourished by the words of the faith and of good teaching that you have followed. But have nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. So he brings this about and he says all of that to get to these points. Because this is what we really, where it gets down to. The difference between religion and relationship, he's getting into. It says, rather train yourself in godliness. For training of the body, which goes back to what I can, what I can't eat. If I exercise, if I don't exercise. Am I saying exercise is bad? No. Am I saying people who are healthy are bad? No. Am I saying, you know, I'm short because I smoked? No. I mean, I know tall people who smoke. I had a friend that was 6'6", and he started smoking in third grade. I didn't start smoking until I was 14, maybe 15. So by their standards, yeah, he got my inches. But he says, the training of the body has limited benefits. You know what? There's nothing wrong with it, but I'm here to tell you, I don't care how healthy you are. I don't care how fit you are. Flesh will not inherit the kingdom of earth. Thank you, Jesus. Just went and got some suits, and the woman said, oh, the jackets fit fine, but may have to let the pants out a half inch. I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, only a half inch. Yeah. She said, you've gotten suits here before. I said, yes. She said, were your measurements the same? I said, I believe they're a little smaller now. I said, but it really doesn't matter. Because this isn't the body I'm taking to the kingdom. And I believe we sing, I will wear a robe in my Father's house. In my Father's house. Because then we won't be saying, did you see the waist on that Bill? I don't, you know, say, training of the body isn't a bad thing. Because other places, Paul talks about training like an athlete. It's not a bad thing, but when you make it your religion, this is not what we're taking to the kingdom. He says what's important. His whole point about, well, nobody's qualified, but people can be called, and everyone isn't called for the same thing. But he says, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Yeah. Cher used to say, she used to be on a commercial, and she used to say, if you get a body like this, and it was for an exercise program, if you get a body like this in a bottle, everybody would have one. It's not about that. See, as Christians, are we supposed to be healthy? Yes. Now, what is healthy? That can differ. All I know is, almost went in the song, I'm not home yet. This world is not where I belong. You know. All I know is when you get into God's word, that's what's going to count. What Christians love to give good advice. We have never been called to give good advice. God has commissioned us to give us good news. Here's good news for me. When I'm measured for my robe, it will be perfect. Yeah. It will be perfect. Yeah. When you're measured now, here, will there need to be any alterations? I doubt it. Checking into the military, and they gave you your clothes. They had, you know, I noticed that they had one pile. You know, and it was kind of labeled, one size fits none. Yeah. They had two sizes, too big and too small. That's it. You had to, whatever you were given, that's what you wore. And so he's just saying, understand something. Don't be deceived. It's not about qualifications, because I'm here to tell you, a friend going through trouble can get much more benefit from you being their friend than hours with a counselor. Because you have something invested in this. You have a relationship. Max Lucado once said, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. That's what this is saying. It's about building. Paul's talking about building relationships. He's teaching that, he's sending this to Timothy, somebody who's about to be cast into a different type of lions then. I can't imagine, it was bad enough at 32 going into ministry. I can't imagine, Eddie, what it would be like somebody graduating from college at 22 and getting their first church. And you have people, you know, like your dad, sitting out there who knows a lot more than the person standing in the pulpit. We're not here because we're qualified. There are smarter people. There are stronger people. There are people who know more about Scripture than any pastor in the pulpit. They're there because they've been called. Not because they're qualified. Paul says, Timothy, it's not about the training of the body. It's about the surrendering of the mind and the will to Jesus. Because it doesn't look that good. Look who his mentor is. His mentor is in jail. How many of us, if a minister came to the pulpit and you said, during your interview, you're interviewing the guy, and he's sitting there and you say, who are your mentors? And you say, well, number 64172 of federal prison. That's Timothy. He's taking advice from a convict. What would you tell your children? You know, you're judged by the company you keep. I know you've never heard that, Matt, but sooner or later you will. Timothy's not keeping great company. Not by the world's standards. Not even by the, you know, his church at that time, you know, the Jewish synagogue standards. He's saying, understand, this saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. In fact, we labor and strive for this because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of everyone, especially those who believe. He's the Savior of everyone but he won't save everyone. Somehow, we have this Santa Claus attitude of God, when in reality, the Santa Claus attitude of God should be, all those kids, and maybe when you were a kid, you were grown up, and everything you asked Santa Claus for, you got. It wasn't that way in our home. Yeah. That's reality. And Paul's saying, understand this. Then he says, command and teach these things. No one should despise your youth. Instead, so he's saying, he doesn't say no one will. No one should. Aaron can probably tell you from meetings he sits in that there are people who will look at him and wonder, after college, after graduate school, and after maybe their doctorate, they're sitting in a meeting wondering, how did he get in here? You know why I know that's true? Because the first pastor's meeting I ever went to, the new pastors, we were sitting at a ministerial director's house around the table, and that's what they asked me. Well, how did you get here? And I wanted to say, well, I drove. How did you get here? Yeah. But sometimes, you know, God does hold your tongue. And so I just told them the truth. I don't know. I guess God put me here. See, that's what he's saying to Timothy. Nobody should. We need to realize the people are where they are because they've been called to be there. If you haven't been called to be there, then get out. See, I believe when you were at Youth for Tomorrow, you were called to be there. And I believe, Aaron, you're called to be where you are now. One thing I know, looking at history, is Joseph was called to be a prisoner until the time came. He went from the pit, free at last, praise God Almighty, I'm free at last, I'm out of the pit, to prison, to a palace. Yeah. I don't understand why, but I trust the one who does. That's all he's telling Timothy. Instead, Timothy, he says, you should be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. What he's saying is, no one should despise you, but they're going to. No one should be jealous of you. Your first pulpit, there are going to be people who are going to say, who does he think he is? And the song wasn't out then, you know, in the 80s. Where I could say, I am a child of the one true king. That's who I am. Who you? He's saying, be an example. Stand on your principles. Know what God says, and no matter what, God says, I am the Lord thy God. I called you for such a time as this. Who in the world was a Jewish girl that was going to save a nation? And she... you can think what you want, but I mean, did she not deceive the king into marrying her? Would he have married her if he knew she was Jewish? I don't know, maybe so. I don't know how God would have worked that, but I know he didn't know it. Because when she said, you put out a decree to kill my people, well, who are your people? I'm not going to kill your family. So he didn't know it. Why didn't he use Mordecai? He had used them before, but he didn't this time. In your life, you may hear those words. What Paul is saying to Timothy is what Mordecai said to Esther, for such a time as this. You have been called for such a time as this. So live as if you're being watched, because you are. You're being watched by others who don't believe. Have you ever heard people say, I thought they were supposed to be a Christian, because somebody gave them too much money when they checked out and they kept it. And because they're Christian, they put half of the overage in the offering. Yeah. People are watching. He says, look, people are going to be watching you, Timothy. So live your life as if you believe what you're telling them you believe. I believe God can do anything. Most Christians will say that with an asterisk that says except. You know, God used to heal. He doesn't have to today because we have doctors. See, I don't believe we should be practicing Christians. I believe we should be Christians. If God said it, I believe it. I don't understand it. Don't get me wrong. I don't understand it. I don't understand why you would send somebody fishing to pay your taxes. And I don't understand why he would put the coin in the fish's mouth when he could just as easily made it fall from heaven. I don't understand that, but I believe it. If he can do that, what is it that you need that he can't do? Look, it doesn't get a whole lot worse than Lazarus. He wasn't just dead, he stinketh. The whole idea about this is understanding, Timothy, that you're being watched. Until I come, give attention to public reading, exhortation, and teachings. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. See, do we realize the gift is in us? Aaron, why are you there? Because there's a gift in you. Don't neglect it. Why are you where you are? Because there's a gift in you. Don't try to take a gift that was intended for someone else. If your gift is not hospitality, look, you have other gifts. That doesn't mean you have to be mean, but you don't have to be hosting dinners for everyone. The gift that was given to you through prophecy. Dwayne spoke it over you. With the laying on of hands by the council of elders, practice these things, be committed to them, so that your progress may be evident to all. You know, we said a few weeks back, we need to either be up or getting up. That means you're going to be knocked down sometimes. But as soon as you are, start getting up. Be conscientious about yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for by doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. If your words and your walk are the same. Now, you save yourself because you're living like you believe it. and you save others because they don't hear sermons, they see them. How can they sleep in that boat when there's a storm outside? How can they be so calm when they just got that news from the doctor? Don't they know what their bank balance is? A couple weeks ago, I got a notice from the bank. Confession is good for the soul, I guess. Kay didn't know this, but I got a notice from the bank. That was $2,100 overdrawn. Now, either something's wrong, or the bank, I know that's, so I can either trust God. Yeah, so I had to go to the bank anyhow, and I went there, and they said, oh, we sent you someone else's statement. So I prayed for the person who's, you know. But the thing is, I could have gone, Kay, look at this! And after I got out of the hospital, once I told her, once I came to, think about it. You either trust him. See, I know he says, I am going, consider the sparrows, consider the lilies. You either believe it or you don't. And then you either live like you believe it or you don't. That's all Paul is saying to Timothy. You've been called into the service of Jesus Christ. You need to stay connected. You need to stay connected. Because separated, winds of strife come in. And it can blow you this way and that. But understand something. When you know that you know that you know. You know I am blessed. I am. How do you know? You see it. If you ever see me in the pulpit doing this, because I have no clue of what to do or say, you start praying for me. Not that I get something to say, but that I get back to the one who I believe in. Because you see, he is my source. He is my strength. He is my health. He's my bottom line, and he's the top of the heap. He is my all in all. He's my 10,000 reasons for existing. Yeah. And when I can't sleep, or I should rephrase that, if there's ever a time that I can't sleep, I want to start counting those reasons. Because I'll fall asleep before I get to 100. Yeah. God, Timothy, God is who he says he is. And Timothy's gone, thank you, Jesus. I needed to hear that from a convict. Now, he said, thank you, Jesus. I needed to hear that from someone whose life is an example to me. He lives what he believes. That's where we are today in this part of Earth's history. We need to live like we believe what we read. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we think about Paul giving advice to Timothy, Father, other places he says, beauty is fleeting. Same thing, Father, training of the body, it's not that it's bad, it's just that it won't last. But training to get closer to you, strengthening our grip on you, wrapping our minds around you, it says is good for this life and into eternity. Bring us to that place, Father. Not just so that we can get into eternity, but so that others can see and learn and believe and accept and go into eternity. Father, thank you for calling us in this time in Earth's history for, as Mordecai says, for such a time as this, as we're being watched and told to stand up for Jesus. Oh, Father, use us to bring glory, honor, and praise to your name, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.